This is the Bloomington Review with Jim Inman
on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman and David Piller in the studio Friday, whatever this day is.
It's the 9th. October. Can you believe that?
Hard to believe, brother. First of all, welcome back.
How are you?
We've gotten multiple days of hanging out in the morning.
Yeah, I know. We've both been lucky. Yeah, I guess Thursday morning, this morning, It's been a good week.
It has.
Fall break is wonderful.
Fall break is so nice. Yeah. If you have the opportunity to take advantage of it, or did take advantage of it,
congratulations. The only thing better is if the IU students would have been gone for the week. But then we wouldn't have any news.
I was going to say.
If nothing else, they did provide us news, and actually not all in a very good way this week, but lots to talk about later on in the news.
It's been a very challenging couple of weeks for Indiana University. And even if you go back into the spring with the young woman who was getting ready to graduate who was murdered,
yes.
I mean, it's just been a
bad 6 months.
It's been a rough time, and especially on such a when you've had you've got a dichotomy of things because you have the McRobby announced the 2-year billion-dollar endowment and
yes.
fundraising program for 200 years of Indiana University, and just a lot of things going on, and then some black marks in the last several weeks. So we'll talk about that more actually in a little bit. We're going to change up the schedule a little bit tonight because of high school football this evening. And I know the WGCL website had a different schedule, but Joe Smith is actually going to be traveling tonight, I do believe.
But Joe is on, him, or Joe's on an airplane
plane.
Going to Happy
That's
Valley.
Right. I forgot.
He'll be in Penn State for the Hoosiers, who kick off tomorrow at noon against Penn State for Penn State's homecoming on ESPN. Joe will have Chalk Talk tonight with Coach Mo. But Bloomington South and the Panthers will be going to Columbus North for the 80th meeting of the Bloomington High School against the Columbus High School Panthers and Bulldogs, which will probably end up being for the Conference Indiana Football Championship. So tonight with John and Dave Novak, I think we'll have the call tonight with Bloomington South and Columbus North. So we'll throw a Hail Mary, Jim. Remember, the season 7 weeks ago, we just handed off. And now we're going to throw a Hail Mary to these guys. So short show Friday. So we're only with you till 6:30 again. That's when Chalk Talk will go with Joe, and then the kickoff a little after 7. But tomorrow morning, Jim, Saturday morning, 8 to 9, right before
yes.
David Hayes, you get the full hour of this greatness. So if you like what you hear tonight, tune back in tomorrow. Start at 8, listen to it again, and then 8:30 on to 9, new programming tomorrow morning.
And then next week for high school football, we've got Perry Meridian at Bloomington South, and then we get into sectional and regional coverage. So I don't know how many more short show Fridays we're going to have, if you will, as
sectional
that all shakes
draws
out.
Sectional this weekend, so we'll have a little bit of an idea of game locations, game times, possible matchups. So I think that does come out Sunday, Monday. So take a look at that. But other things going on this weekend. I know that the book fair, now it was Red Cross Book Fair for years, and now the Hoosier Hills Food Bank has the book fair, and that's out at the fairgrounds. Started up on Thursday, but open until 7 o'clock tonight. So jump in the car, leave us on, and drive over to the fairgrounds if you miss it tonight, Saturday morning, 9 to 6, and it runs all the way through Tuesday. So, of course, everything that is done out there will benefit Hoosier Hills Food Bank this year. And I know you had Abby Gitlitz last weekend on the show. And what do you got for her?
Well, the preview, if you're catching us Friday night, ends at 6:30 this evening. So I'm not going to give you the details on that. But Saturday, if you're catching the replay, head to the Courthouse Square. Get there early. Starts at 10 o'clock in the morning on the southwest corner across from the TAP. But it is the Great Glass Pumpkin Patch. This is a great event. It's a fundraiser for the Bloomington Creative Glass Center. And if you missed last week's show, WGCLradio.com for all of that. But a wonderful discussion last week with Abby, and great event, and you can get a little bit of unique Bloomington culture at the Pumpkin Patch today, starting at 10. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to get into some news and then preview some other things going on over Bloomington Monroe County this weekend and leading up. As Mr. Piller mentioned, later on in the show, we'll talk about some of the news out of Indiana University over the last couple of weeks when we were on with Glass earlier this morning, kind of talked about social media and all of that. So we'll just get into that a little bit. But as Mr. Piller mentioned, there is plenty on the sports scene as well. Hoosiers last week played against Ohio State. Great game. They're headed to Penn State, as we mentioned a few minutes ago, this weekend for their homecoming. We've got Hoosier Hysteria coming up in a couple weeks. You got the high school scene as well. Just a lot of different things. And then, of course, we love it. The Cubs won. And if you're catching us tonight, the next game is they're playing against the Cardinals.
Yeah, and it'll start right about the time of the end of our show. So, I would go ahead and just put the Cubs game on, mute that, and listen to Joe and Coach Mo talk about Chalk Talk, and hopefully get the Cubbies and Kyle Schwarber another big victory.
We're going to take a break, come back with more, facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview and WGCLRadio.com as well. We'll be back. Stay with us right here on The Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman here in the studio along with David Piller. Second weekend of October 2015. And as we get ready for Hilly 100 this weekend.
Yeah, how about that? Events,
a decent forecast, actually.
Nice, Jim. If you're with us here on Friday night, partly cloudy, low around 43 this evening, so you may want to keep the windows closed. But Saturday, sunny, high near 66. Saturday night, mostly clear again, down to 44. And Sunday, sunny again with a high near 74. Beautiful weather weekend, but a slight chance of rain on Monday. Highs will drop down to their normals in the high 60s, low 70s next week. So might be about time, Jim, for, you know what, if the weather chills down, you have to get a light wrap, maybe just a small jacket. You don't need the big coat, just a light wrap. But most importantly, all your weather all the time, WGCLRadio.com.
I actually turned on the furnace, I think it was last Sunday or Monday, when we had that cold snap come through,
Jim,
for a day. I'm an old man. Get a sweatshirt. Whatever. On the local news scene, Monroe County Commissioners say ensuring the records of the auditor, treasurer, and banks match should be top priority after consultants' report pointed out various procedural issues that led to problems of reconciling the county's various financial statements. According to the Herald Times this week, it's a task that has the treasurer's office playing catch-up with work on January statements only recently started. Now, after a formal report from the consulting firm during Tuesday's staff time, Commissioner Pat Stauffer said a number of the errors identified could have been discovered if routine monthly bank reconciliation was being done, because it's mandated by state law. And even if there was an error, Stauffer said, that figure could have been carried over. What ended up happening? At the cost of $150,000 to the county, and you know Marty Hawk talked about that this week with Glass and Margaret, consultants Hartman and Williams were able to reconcile up to December 31st, 2014, with $41.93 cash reported as needed to balance the books. Basically, that was the only difference in all, once it shook out, was less than $42. Recommendations also were made to improve procedures to reduce future errors. And County Attorney Jeff Cockrell said both the auditor and treasurer are working to implement the changes, but the Treasurer Department reconciling statements for 2015 needs to move forward for everything to be resolved. Treasurer Kathy Smith said the reconcilement was up to date until the exit of an employee in 2013, and then the position was unfilled for 5 months. While the position has since been filled, Smith said the employee hired had a very steep learning curve, and things got more complicated when information from the auditor's office, such as using the wrong banking code for transactions and as highlighted in the consultant report, were found to be incorrect and the department fell behind. So a comedy of errors, if you will.
Jim,
$42.
I'm exhausted. I'm about ready to just go back to news about deer, because I can barely handle any more local government handling money. It's just, if you did this personally, you'd be bankrupt. If you did this as a private business, you'd be out of business.
Right.
I just don't understand necessarily.
We can magically pull $150,000 out to pay, but
yeah,
that's where Marty Hawk's expertise comes
in. I got nothing. I'm just going to defer to them.
Yep.
Maybe a change in government coming up with our election that's now less than a month away. Democratic mayor candidate John Hamilton outlined his plan for a more open and accountable city government if he were to be elected mayor. Hamilton said in a press release that he plans to increase civil involvement, open government, beginning with weekly public meetings that would include himself and department heads if he were to be elected. Hamilton said there is no replacement for face-to-face interaction when it comes to people solving problems together. Our residents deserve a chance to speak with the people in their local government who can provide insight into city operations and listen for input on ways to improve public services. So pretty cool ideas here from John Hamilton. He also plans to pursue a participatory budgeting, which would let residents vote on various proposals, making city documents available via an online database, including expenditures and contracts, and also establishing a 24/7 online and telephone whistleblower hotline to both the mayor's office and the city council, which would give all employees and all citizens an anonymous way to share information directly with the administration and council about any suspected wrongdoing or opportunities for improvement. So interesting ideas, and based, again, on some of the other things we've covered in the news, maybe some good ideas.
On the local scene, Ball State Center for Business Economic Research applied the same standards used in the Human Development Index to rank Indiana counties and states. And when you look at the report, Monroe County came in as one of the best in the state. It was ranked second, earning a rating of 92.09, with Hamilton County taking number one spot with a perfect 100. Tippecanoe County was behind Monroe County with a score of just over 88. So what all does this look at? Well, it looks at the factors of health, income, and education opportunities in a community and in a county. The report also applied to the Human Development Index to the state, and according to the report, Indiana is just short of the bottom 10 states at number 39 overall. So there are spots in the state that are really good, but as a whole, we're still falling a little bit short compared to the rest of the country, according to Ball State, at least.
Jim, you know, here on the Bloomington Review, we love our Wee Willies. We're still a little bit in mourning with
Nancy
living over in the Evil, like I do, pretty close to the other location. But anyway, that Southside location still in the news as the city still plans to purchase the former Wee Willie's restaurant on South Walnut and use the property for one entrance to the future Switchyard Park. But the deal will take a little longer than expected. After environmental assessment revealed benzene on the property, the Indiana Department of Environmental Management asked the city to complete a few more soil tests, said Mick Reneisen, director of the Bloomington Parks and Recreation Department. The discovery isn't a deal breaker, especially since it's likely the compound is coming from off-site, but it does mean the city needs more time, Reneisen said. On Monday, the Bloomington Redevelopment Commission, which is purchasing the property, unanimously approved extending the deadline for the city's purchase offer of $475,000 from its original 75-day length up to November 5th. That will give the city's contractor, Bruce Carter and Associates, time to conduct 4 to 7 more soil probes and get the results back. That will cost an additional $15,000 to $20,000, depending on how many samples are needed, but those monies already are accounted for in the budget for the Switchyard Park.
Last evening was the first of two meetings locally to discuss the future of the IU Health Bloomington Hospital, the location on 2nd Street, which will ultimately be vacated, if you will, because they are building the new facility out on the east side of town. It's a 26-acre building, according to the Herald Times, and the transition, if you will, is going to happen within about 5 years or so fully. So this was covered this morning. Yeah, from Thursday night's meeting, any thoughts, Mr. Piller, of what you read?
A couple of people, Barry Lessau from the Monroe County United Way is in charge of this the subcommittee that's leading this discussion. And it's nice that this opportunity for public input has come up early. A couple of the ideas just to float out there. One, someone recommended a veterans hospital and another person to go to the other end of the spectrum about what the facility could be used for. Said that there are a lot of spaces in there that could be used for music, dance, and art activities, recitals, practices. So maybe a mix of something traditional in the medical field and something a little bit more non-traditional, because they do have a large auditorium there. They have a lot of space, a lot of parking, so lots of things that could benefit something maybe outside medical. At the end of the day, perhaps classroom laboratory type things for Ivy Tech, for IU, for someone else somewhere else that we haven't even thought of yet. Who knows? But a large space. And another interesting part of the article was all of the surrounding businesses. You know, there's some other doctors that have that have offices located very close to that space. And then, again, quite practically speaking, you have a florist and you have small gift shops and some things like that that are really close. Medical supply companies, just a variety of things over there that are all going to have to kind of that certainly have their finger on the pulse of what this is going to do, because that could certainly change their business plan, certainly call for a relocation to the other side of town now that it's going to go off the bypass on the far east side. Lots to come from that. So Barry Lessau, again, from the United Way, is in charge of this. And then there will be a second input meeting next Wednesday, the 14th, from 5:30 to 7 in the County Council of City Hall on Morton Street. Attendees may present diagrams, charts, and other notes. If you can't attend, There is hospital input at bloomington.in.gov. You can email your ideas there.
I kind of wonder also, and maybe this will come up at the second meeting, or maybe it's a cost factor. I don't know. We've outgrown the jail. I mean, the jail is right across the street from WGCL, and there is no more room in that facility.
Our studio is already small enough in here, Jim. I don't think we can give up any more space to people.
We're a little cold in here, too, but that's another story.
That's another story.
There was even the issue of a sewage problem not so long ago
at the jail.
And I know you had the courthouse and everything tied, some of the legal facilities, I guess I should say, because you've got different things in different locations. But maybe that's something to consider.
Remember, they're building that new giant garage back on the back side of the Justice Center as well. So
that's true.
Maybe they're going to make some ideas there, some concessions there. Or maybe people just need to be good and quit going to jail, Jim.
Well, we'll get into more of that with the IU news in a few minutes. But I don't disagree with you, sir. We're going to take a break, come back, give you some ideas of things to do this weekend around Bloomington and Monroe County, and maybe stretch out a little bit as well. And then we'll get to Chalk Talk with Joe at the bottom of the hour, and more if you're catching us on Saturday morning. Stay with us here on the Bloomington Review. Just a couple minutes left in the Friday show. Again, Joe Smith will have Chalk Talk in just a few minutes, as the coverage tonight is Bloomington High School South at Columbus North. And as we mentioned, Joe's on a plane right now, or hopefully has landed in Pennsylvania by now for the IU Hoosiers game this weekend. As we mentioned, tomorrow, Saturday, is the big Great Glass Pumpkin Patch on the southwest corner of the Courthouse Square. Free event, more than 700 pumpkins, as you heard last week here on the Bloomington Review. Go check it out. Get there early. There's all kinds of stuff. Everything's unique and just a beautiful arts exhibit, if you will. So check out the Great Glass Pumpkin Patch on Saturday starting at 10 on the square.
After you're done with that, I think you should go to the farmer's market, because I always think you should go to the farmer's market because it's beautiful and wonderful down there. And then after that, go out to the fairgrounds for the Hoosier Hills Food Bank Community Book Fair. First year that it will benefit Hoosier Hills Food Bank rather than the Red Cross. But Saturday's Kids Day, free admission. Food trucks and kids' characters will be out there. We'll have adoptable pets from the shelter, Humane Society, a bunch of other things like that. But books, DVDs, CDs, Jim, records. I know you're into that.
I am.
You like your vinyl.
I do.
So lots of other things going to be going on out there. But go check that out at the fairgrounds.
And for the over 21 crowd, a name that Mr. Piller brought to my attention a few minutes ago that I haven't heard in quite a while, Chris Cagle.
Yeah.
Good old country music
guy. You want to sing a couple bars of Laredo, Jim?
No, I don't. Right. Don't do that anymore.
How about The Chicks Dig It? You want to sing that?
No,
neither?
I'm going to leave that to you, too, brother. But it is Chris Cagle Night out at the Bluebird for the 21 and older crowd. It says $25 to $30 per person, so I don't know if that is a tickets at the door go higher kind of thing or what.
Maybe there's VIP seating that I'm not aware of.
There might very well be. So Chris Cagle at the Bluebird tonight. And it's also Hilly 100 weekend. So
yes, sir.
If you haven't signed up for that, it's probably too late to do that, but watch out for the bikers this weekend as they are out and about.
All over the western part of Monroe County over towards Ellis Hill in that
really
direction.
It really is 100 miles-ish that they do.
Yep.
I think it ends up being 96, but if 96 to 100...
Kelly did it a couple years back.
Did
before
she
we were Before we even knew each other, she was already down here riding around on her bike.
I know.
How about that?
Know a lot of people that do. I actually signed up for a mud run at the end of the month.
Oh, Jim.
I've never done it. The big 4-0 was coming up in December, so I thought, well, if I'm going to do it. But I probably wasn't smart in picking October 31st when it's going to be
chilly.
A little bit chilly to roll
chilly
around
mud.
In the mud.
Frozen mud. I don't like that.
No.
I don't like mud in general.
No, not
and
at
then,
all.
Hey, you got Brown County's going to start picking up because we're almost near peak leaf season over there. So watch out for traffic to our west because of the Hilly 100. Watch out to traffic for our east because of Brown County. And then we've got IU soccer this weekend. Lots of good stuff happening in town, as always.
Always, always. We got to head out for Friday night and a Chalk Talk. Stay with us, though, on Saturday for more here on the Bloomington Review. Saturday morning here on the Bloomington Review. Glad that you are sticking around with us for the second half of the program. And, Mr. Piller.
Yeah, if you're not doing, I think, listen to the show, catch David Hayes, then Glass Pumpkin Patch, Farmer's Market, Book Fair. We've talked about all that stuff.
Yep.
But lots to do in a wonderful weather weekend here in Bloomington. So hopefully people are out and about. But we're both graduates from Indiana University.
Right.
They gave us degrees, which
they did.
We appreciate.
They did.
But this has not been the best news cycle for IU, and a variety of things happening. It never good when you end up in the USA Today, when you end up in the
Fox News
yes. on top of the hour for something negative. And
right.
so ATO, Alpha Tau Omega, is gone again off campus. The house is located on 3rd Street, kind of down
near TIS bookstore.
Near past the bookstore, yeah, but down there, kind of across the street from where you go to Ballantyne and in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
So, just in some big trouble this time.
And as Glass said this morning, because Mr. Pillar and I were both on the show, he believes that IU actually owns the land, but not the building,
not the
per
house
se.
Itself, yeah.
But as we mentioned, there was basically a video surfaced of a very explicit scene, and there were a lot of people involved and cheering mm-hmm. and part of this scene that connected to this fraternity.
Yeah, we had a big conversation. Again, if you're with us now, Saturday morning, yesterday morning on Glass in the Morning, when the Minister of Culture and I kind of pinched hit for Julie Warrant in the second half of the show, and we had a big conversation about this. The privacy is now gone. And that's not to say that that this would have been okay had it not gotten out, because it's not. There's, like I said, if you've not seen the picture, the video, not really much interest in that, but the pictures that have been floated out on Twitter and on various mm-hmm. other sites, there's so much wrong with what you're seeing.
Yep.
It's not even close. And this isn't to say that, you know, either of us are holier than now and never did anything crazy or anything like that, but it's just so much different now, and this is taking craziness to a whole different level. That boy, I'll tell you what. There are so many subplots to this situation, with now the fraternal culture that's going to have to defend themselves when mm-hmm. things like this are happening. There's all the rumors and all the innuendos of what could be happening or Animal House style activity that's
right.
gone down. There's a video from our campus that's all over the social media and all over the news that mm-hmm. shows. Just a variety of problems
yep.
that we sure have to get under control as a society. Otherwise, boy, oh boy, we've got some issues.
And this fraternity, the Herald Times did some research. This fraternity has had issues going back into the early 1990s, back mm-hmm. into my time as a student at Indiana University. That doesn't mean that the kids 20 years ago have a direct influence on what happened in this video that we're just describing, but there is a culture, apparently, that has been ongoing for some time, and they have been suspended and reinstated and different things. But it looks like with this event, and of course, this is still in the very early stages of things. The students have not been expelled, so they are still at Indiana University. Where they're going to be living is anybody's guess right now. It's another black mark on Indiana University in just the last several days and weeks. The athletics program has had struggles on different levels. We had the death of an IU student, actually two IU students, in the last couple of weeks. One was a young woman who was part of a murder-suicide,
mm-hmm.
and then a young man who was found dead out at Griffey Lake last week. There was a vigil held on Wednesday evening for Joseph Smedley and Yaolin Wang. Smedley was 20 years old. Wang, was a 21-year-old junior. She was stabbed by a man she'd been in a relationship with. And, you know, it's just a very sad situation when you're at that age, when the world is open to you.
Yeah, and, you know, we go all the way back to April when Hannah Wilson was killed in somewhere between Bloomington and Brown County. And now we're going to this. So it has been. And you know, statistically speaking, when you have 35,000 people between the ages of 17 and 22 or 23 all within one space, you know, you're bound to have some reckless behavior. You're bound
sure.
to have some accidents. But it just seems like that the reckless behavior is just we go back. We've talked about this, Jim. It's like the money with the local government. We talk about it all the time, that there's this this complex of being indestructible and mm-hmm. and the behavior and the actions, and it's just sad on a variety of levels that all of these things are happening, and the news about ATO just kind of tipped it off for the like I said, it's kind of been a rough patch of about 10 days to 2 weeks here in Bloomington.
And you know, the thing about it is, I don't know any of these fraternity guys, I don't know anything about it. This may, despite the crowd at this video, if you will, I don't know how many of them were actually members of that fraternity.
I have no idea.
There could be 99% of those guys at that fraternity that are great, upstanding, and truly.
Absolutely.
And so
and I
it's
know
not.
Some, I've got some friends from my time here, the great guys, absolutely, that are just appalled and embarrassed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but my gosh, you go back to the Friday mornings HT and you see from 1990 until the present, drinking, hazing, back and forth with all these things and grades and just general detrimental behavior. Jim, you know, in the picture, there were, just in view, there were eight shirtless guys sitting in straight lines.
Yeah.
That's not typical, normal, free-thinking activity. That means you were told to take your shirts off and sit in a row next to other people. And, you know, I guess it just maybe time to think about how you go about choosing your friends. And who your friends really are, and people that tell you or ask you to do things like that, stand up for yourself and have some dignity and say, nah, I'm going to pass on all this, and I'll just go find some friends and make some networks in a different environment. I did it. You did it. We were able to survive without that. And I think, again, not a knock on people that did do it, because there are some wonderful lifetime relationships and some wonderful benefits and things, but my goodness, this was a tough one to see that picture. That was a lot.
Earlier in the week, even to add to all of this, a 20-year-old intoxicated woman was left in the care of a 20-year-old IEU student at a party, and apparently her friends left her there, and the guy said he would take care of her and everything, but apparently there was a preliminary felony charge of rape after she was sexually assaulted by this man. This happened on September 24th. She went to a campus health clinic for an assault examination the next day and then reported it to the Bloomington police. In an interview with the detectives, the man said he didn't believe the woman was too intoxicated to give consent, and the two had even been flirting at the party during the day, and the woman had initiated some of the contact. This man is a member of IU's Army ROTC program and a private first class in the Army National Guard. And again, we have a he said, she said at the moment. That's why I haven't given any names or anything. But just another instance of some bad choice.
Bad decision making.
And again, this is not a pointing fingers.
Nope.
But
not
this
at all.
Is a young woman who was too intoxicated to take care of herself, and her friends left her with someone.
Yep.
Whether or not they knew each other beforehand, I don't know. But in this day and age of where there are attacks, where there are murders and things, you need somebody pretty much with you all the time. A good, I don't know.
Me neither. This is beyond even the minister's realm of expertise.
It's just a tough, sad situation all the way around.
We're going to talk about happy stuff later, though. We got lots of good news. We got lots of good sports coming up with professional success lately. Hoosiers looking good in the college ranks in a variety of different sports, and some wonderful achievements by some local high school kids as well. So we'll get things turned around, get you back pepped up on a Saturday morning again. Glass Pumpkin Patch, a farmer's market, a book fair, IU soccer tonight.
Get out of bed.
We got
words.
Lots and lots of wonderful things happening. It's a beautiful day in Bloomington, so we hope you get out there and enjoy it.
We'll be back in a couple minutes here on the Bloomington Review. Sports it is, Mr. Pillar. I'm just going to let you ride and roll and whatever you want to talk about.
We got a lot going on.
We do.
Most importantly, last night we had high school football right here on WGCL. We don't know what happened because, again, in all transparency to our wonderful listeners, it is still Friday when we're recording the part that people will hear on Saturday morning. So the South Panthers made a trip over to Columbus to take on the North Bulldogs in some major Conference Indiana implicated high school football action last night. We don't know what happened, but again, you do, so hopefully you'll know that we ended up with a Panther win. That's my hope and my prediction. Southport was at Bloomington High School North last night. Edgewood went over to Cascade. Owen Valley and Brown County played, so lots of other local high school football action. Let's go back earlier in the week, Jim, right here on WGCO on Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
The Colts knocked out the Houston Texans down in Houston 27-20. 40-year-old, he's older than you, Jim, 40-year-old Matt Hasselbeck with his second win in a row, 2-0. Matt Hasselbeck's thrown 77 passes over the last two games and has completed a bunch of them. On Thursday night, Andre Johnson had 6 of those catches for 2 touchdowns. T.Y. Hilton had 5 catches, 88 yards, and 6 other Colts caught passes from Hasselbeck. So
where do you think we are with Andrew Luck? Because the initial up until like the day before was...
We thought he was going to play.
Right. And
but
so
now,
we went
I think,
2 games now
yes,
without Luck.
And now the Colts had a short week. So Thursday, now he has 10 days off because the Colts have a bye week.
Mm-hmm.
Next week, I guess that would be week 6 of the NFL season. The Colts are off and then coming back in week 7. Guess what? Tom Brady and the crew are coming to Lucas Oil Stadium for a Sunday night thriller.
Is that a sold-out game yet? Do you know?
I have no idea. I would think it probably is close. But it'll be here on WGCL Radio on Sunday night. Wow. What an exciting opportunity that's going to be. I think that game date is, the 25th maybe?
The 18th is when we play the Patriots.
Well,
today's
maybe
the
we
9th because we go. About 10 days.
Then maybe we don't have a bye next week. I thought we had a bye week.
We've got a 10-day off span. So
well, there
speak.
You go. You know better than I do because you keep track of the websites and stuff.
Well.
But anyway, Tom Brady, the Patriots heading into Indianapolis. So big game coming up. We'll get you all the details next week. But WGCLRadio.com, you'll be able to listen to that game. Bob Lamy, Westwood One, and the Colts Radio Network. So good stuff there. Mm-hmm. So the Colts game was Thursday night, but that does not mean you have to do without football here on WGCL. Saturday, we've got Big Ten football action starting at 2:30, Nebraska in action. And then Sunday, 12:30 pregame for the Browns and Baltimore Ravens. At the early game, the late game, 4 o'clock, the Patriots, we just talked about, taking on the Dallas Cowboys in Dallas. And then Monday night, Steelers, Chargers, next Thursday, Falcons, Saints. So lots and lots and lots of football here on WGCL Radio. Other things, we've got baseball playoffs for you that are going on, not on the radio, but here because the Reds aren't in it. Sorry, Reds fans. But lots and lots of good stuff happening with baseball playoffs. Kyle Schwarber was huge the other night to get the Cubs past the Pittsburgh Pirates. Cubbies won 4-0, and now they're locked into a game or a series with Cardinals. Again, don't know what happened last night, but hopefully we got a Cubby victory, and Schwarber continues to hit the baseball. Dodgers, Mets, and the other half of the National League action. We've got Rangers, Blue Jays, Royals, Astros on the American League side of things. So 2 of those 8 teams will make up what's going to be the World Series. But anyway, lots of other stuff happening. IU football, we said that earlier Joe Smith will be out there. Noon kickoff at Penn State. It's homecoming for Penn State. They're 4-1. They lost to Temple in the first game of the season, haven't lost since. But ESPN will have this again, 12 o'clock, as the 4-1 Indiana Hoosiers take on the 4-1 Penn State Nittany Lions. Also, huge, huge day for high school action Saturday. Girls soccer sectional finals, North and South, will duke it out on the pitch Saturday at 7 o'clock. North boys tennis will be in Jasper for the semi-state against the host Jasper Wildcats. Girls conference Indiana volleyball will be this afternoon. North and South both play semifinal tournament games, I believe 10:30 and 12:30, with the ideal matchup being both teams winning and playing for the conference Indiana crown later on this afternoon. And then South boys soccer at BNL to take on the Stars for the sectional finals down there. So good luck to all of our local teams that are going to be going onto the pitch, onto the court, on the volleyball court as well tonight. Hoosiers in action against Ohio State soccer at Bill Armstrong Stadium, 7 o'clock tonight. And then now, Jim, we're 2 weeks away from Hoosier Hysteria and basketball season starting. Practice officially started earlier this week. But now Hoosier Hysteria, Saturday, October 25th. We've got Bring Your Canned Goods. Again, no admission for Hoosier Hysteria for the three-point shootout, the dunk contest, a little bit of light scrimmage from both the boys' teams, and then the girls will participate in the shooting contest and have an open practice as well. But no admission, but bring your canned foods because it's the right thing to do.
And Chuck Crabb was on with Glass on Friday morning and talked about the seating and everything, because we all know that Assembly Hall is undergoing a major renovation.
Yes.
And Glass asked a very good question. Well, what is the seating? Because if things are being torn out, obviously you may not have the normal capacity that you would. And Chuck said that we are still at capacity as we always have been for Assembly Hall.
Just
but it's going to be the entries
and
the routing
and exactly.
of getting through Assembly Hall.
So, IUHoosiers.com, check out all that information. Check out and pay attention to the signs and pay attention to the parking. Obviously, you want you to get in and get out safely there. Mm-hmm. So a couple other things, IU basketball. Derek Elston, former Hoosier, is back to the IU basketball program as a player personnel director, kind of he's going to help with some game preparation, some practice preparation, but he's also going to be serving in an advisory role to students and maybe even more off the court activities and things. So it's an interesting position for Derek, who's an Indiana native from Tipton, Indiana, and also was a Hoosier on some of the really bad teams and some of the really good teams.
Is this a normal position, if you will, for a college
You know, I think
team?
What's happening now, Jim, is college staffs are expanding and they're making up positions. You know, it's changed so much since I've been there, but now you've got strength and conditioning coaches and you have an assistant strength and conditioning coach and you've got a director of player wellness and director of basketball operations and video coordinator and assistant video coordinator, and now you have all these positions to expand the staff because all sports are becoming so analytical now that everyone has to break down tape. They have to do so much statistical probability right. work that I think it's just changing. But this position for Derek Elston is probably one that a lot of Hoosier fans and a lot of basketball fans around the country would agree is a good one. And he's there to be an advisory role to these guys that are faced with decisions and faced with choices and faced with some pressures that, as a former player himself, he understands. Right. I think he's going to be a great resource. I think it's a nice move for Tom Crean, and it's a good choice.
I smiled when you talked about the analytics of everything because we talked Thursday on the morning show about Kyle Schwarber's home run and the
yes.
velocity that
yes,
it went.
Yes, got out at 113 miles an hour.
Exactly. And, you know, can't you just appreciate the man just hammered the ball out of the stadium?
It was a bomb. That's exactly
but
right.
That's another story.
And then also, IU is adding stars to the uniform. They're going to go 5 stars for their 5 national championships, much like IU soccer has. And so, interesting little quirk there to the uniforms. We'll mm-hmm. see how that goes. Tom Abernathy, Bobby Wilkerson, and Sam Carmichael, former IU golf coach. And, of course, Tom and Bobby, members of the undefeated IU basketball teams. They're going to be part of the Indiana Athletic Hall of Fame class that Fred Glass announced earlier in the week. So congratulations to all of those guys as well. So lots and lots going on in the world of sports, Jim, and we'll get everyone caught up on the Colts-Patriots. Again, that's the next opponent. You think it's 10 days away. I thought it was longer. I'm probably wrong because it happens regularly.
We'll check in the break and see who's right when we come
it's
back.
It's not about who's right.
And, of course, all your sports information for WGCL Radio is there at WGCLRadio.com. We're going to take a break, come back, and wrap up the show. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Just a few minutes left with Mr. Piller and myself on your nice, brisk October weekend.
Yeah, it's beautiful, Jim.
It
beautiful,
is.
Beautiful. Saturday morning, sunny with a high near 66 for today. Tonight, mostly clear, low around 44. So, man, keep the windows closed. But don't turn on your furnace, Jim. Get you a sweatshirt. Light
All right.
wrap. You'll be fine.
I'll suck it up.
Sunday, sunny with a high near 74. Slight chance of rain on Monday, but the highs will get into the high 60s, low 70s next week. All your weather, all the time, WGCLRadio.com.
Monday is Columbus Day.
It
or
is.
I think I've heard Founders Day is kind of another politically correct term. I don't
know.
I read that.
But I know that a lot of government offices will be closed and probably no mail.
But school is back in
school
session.
School is back in okay. session for MCCSC and RBB. So send them back. We're ready for them. We're glad to have them.
Herald Times announced their Everyday Heroes a few days
yeah.
back, and a couple names familiar to the Bloomington Review,
yeah.
Ron Jensen with
Ron
Teacher's
Jensen
Warehouse.
Ron Jensen from Teacher's Warehouse. That's fantastic. What a wonderful guy and well-deserved. And my main man,
I was going to get him
sidekick,
to third.
My tag team partner, off-radio tag team partner,
yes.
Marcus Debro. So congratulations to Marcus, a lifelong Bloomington resident and Goodwill ambassador on many, many boards
yep.
and clubs and organizations, and, of course, assistant principal of Bloomington High School North. Congratulations,
and also
Marcus.
Also a shout-out to Dana Thompson, who is an educator with our IU Health. She was on the show recently
yeah.
For the Walk to End Alzheimer's, and Dana and her husband own the Comedy Attic as
yeah.
well, so not only local business owners, but great there. There were 20 different people part of that, but those are our three connections here.
Very,
at Bloomington
very cool.
Review
congratulations.
And commendations to them and all of that stuff. And speaking of congratulations and goodwill, my friends Joe and Annie, I'm officiating their wedding today.
Oh, boy.
So out at IU Memorial Union.
Fantastic.
So glad the weather held off and all of that. And a nice little party tonight
That's awesome. Good for you.
Alumni Hall, I think, is where it's officially going to be.
Awesome. So. And to no one's surprise, Inman was correct that the Colts' next game will be on October 18th. So that's eight days from now. So next Sunday, the Colts have 10 days off. Next Sunday, 8:30 on WGCL Radio, the Colts will host the Patriots. The bye week, not until November 15th. So we've got a little ways to go before we take a break from the Colts. So that's good news. And Inman was right, which should be acknowledged publicly.
No, it's okay. It's okay. So I know that we're recording on Friday and this is being broadcast on Saturday. But your beloved Cubs, if they won the game Friday night, and when they win the game Friday night is what we're hoping. What happens next
later
in their schedule?
Today, another game in St. Louis later today.
Okay.
On Saturday evening, it's 4:30, I think 4:30 start time. And then off Sunday, and then back to Chicago no matter what Monday night. So because it's a best out of five. Win on Monday, they play in Chicago Tuesday, and then back to St. Louis on Thursday if they need to go to five. Tickets in Chicago Monday night. Bleacher seats on StubHub, Jim. Cheapest bleacher seat on StubHub, $400.
Wow.
So that's unfortunately, Kelly and I both entered to try to win the right to pay for tickets, and neither one of us got that. So we're trying again. If they continue to win, we're in for the next set of tickets. So
Okay. Hopefully
that'll happen. Hopefully the Cubs and Kyle Schwarber will keep on winning. Hopefully the Hoosiers will get one at Penn State. This would be a big one, number five,
yes.
Jim, with Rutgers next week and Purdue still on the schedule. That would be a, barring injuries, ticket probably to your six wins in a bowl, potential bowl this year.
Is Diamond still on quarterback? Or?
Well, no idea. Okay. No idea. We've got Howard, the running back, don't know what they're doing, and then Latham, the defensive end, it's still suspended. All those guys are up in the air. So a full, healthy Hoosier team is a winner. If they have to play with some backups, it'll be probably a closer game than it otherwise would be.
In the last few seconds here, again, there's all kinds of fun stuff. Our friend Julie Warren has it all up at visitbloomington.com. But the Farmer's Market, 10 o'clock today, is the Great Glass Pumpkin Patch, the book fair out at the fairgrounds, and Hilly 100. So watch out for the bikers. Yes, there's going to be packs of them. Yes, there will be a little bit of frustration for drivers, but just come on. You know, if you could bike 100 miles on a beautiful weekend in Bloomington and Monroe County, wouldn't you like to do it?
My mom says her favorite shows are the ones Julie Warren's on, Jim. I don't know if that's to take that personally or not.
Julie's a little bit of radio magic, and she'll be on next month.
Soon,
early,
all right.
Yes, as we get into the holiday season. So
well, have a wonderful day. Have fun at your wedding
and
dance the night away.
Dance
tonight,
in a circle.
Jim.
That's what you do at weddings, right. I think. Facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview and WGCLRadio.com for everything you need. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.